It is Lionheart Radio. It's Tuesday afternoon, and on the phone we have Mr. Vince Powell. Good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to you.
Hello there. Right, I'm just
and good afternoon to all those Lionheart listeners.
Yeah, it's we're based up in Alnwick in Northumberland. Have you ever been up this way at all?
No, I haven't really.
Oh, it's a gorgeous part of the world. It really is. Yeah. Very, very nice part of the world. And the people are very friendly as well.
I'm sure they are.
Right then, well, I'm going to have to give you a little introduction. Comedy writer, your name's been behind many, many of the top five hits, even, of the 70s.
A lot of shows.
60 million and plus viewers in the good old days before all this multi-platform stuff and
Absolutely.
Everything like that. And it's obviously now the market's getting extremely, extremely difficult because, you know, to be able to get an audience of 16 million, I mean, the most recent was Only Fools and Horses, wasn't it? Which,
that's
been it. I mean, unless it's a football match or something like that, there people don't sit down and watch TV together.
No, they don't.
But, as I said, you've written comedy over the years. You've got your brand new book out, which we'll go into in a little bit. It's called From Rags to Gags, The Memoirs of a Comedy Writer. And you've got a couple of nice forewords as well from Barry Cryer and from Cilla Black as well.
Yeah, so. Lovely of them to do that.
Yeah.
It's really a history of my life, you know, from when I first was at school and started learning to write. And then, you know, getting in with the BBC and ITV.
I mean, those there, I mean, you're saying there about, you know, when you got in with the BBC and things like that. I mean, what actually got you started off? I mean, did you used to watch comedians when you were a child, or...?
Well, no, when I was a kid at school, we used to get essays to do, you know, from the teacher. And I used to write daft essays, total fiction. and they were funny. And the teacher made me read them out to the class. And I liked... They used to laugh, and I used to like that laughter. And that's when I thought... That's what I want to do with my life. I want to make people laugh.
So, were you ever tempted to go across and actually do it in front of people, or were you happy enough writing it and people laughing at what you'd written?
Initially, I was a club comic in the north, in Manchester, and I used to work in the clubs as a stand-up comic.
And did you find that quite nerve-wracking when you first started doing it?
Absolutely terrifying it was. And then I formed a double act with Harry Driver, thinking that if there's two of you, it's probably easier.
And also, as well, you can rely on the other person and say, oh, you went very good tonight.
Yeah.
See,
then eventually, of course, Harry, unfortunately, got polio.
Yeah,
well, we couldn't work as a comedy act anymore, so we turned to writing.
Yeah, I mean, I read about that in the book as well, when he got struck down by polio. Very sad thing. I mean, again, not so much heard of these days, is it? It's just one of those horrible things. But then again, I mean, twist of fates and things like this, and I mean, hugely successful writing career ahead of you both as well. So,
yeah.
You were saying, anyway, regarding like the glory days as well, I mean, some of the names that you've mentioned in the book, I mean, it's like a celebrity who's who. And I'm very jealous, to say the least. I mean, you've worked with some absolute greats. I mean, from Bruce Forsyth, Donald Sinden, Tommy Cooper, Morecambe and Wise. I mean, what were these people actually like when you were actually there working with them?
All the famous ones I've worked for. And in actual fact, I've written for three actor nights. That was Sir David Jason, Sir Donald Sinden, and Sir John Mills.
So you can sit back and go...
But I'm waiting for my knighthood now.
Oh, well, it might be in the post. Well, of course, I mean, when you actually look at these people and you think to yourself... Crikey, you know, Sid James as well. I mean, one of the earliest works you did was George and the Dragon, which I'm actually quite a fan of that show. I mean,
Sid James and Peggy Mount.
Yeah. I mean, great chemistry as well between the two.
But, absolutely.
And well written as well, not meaning to big yourself up, but it was fun to watch, and it was very, very easy to watch as well. I mean, very accessible. Yeah. I mean, you put as well that some of the comedies, you know, that you've written haven't been taken that well by the critics, but the public love them.
And I know what you're going to say next.
And no, I'm not going to go down that route just yet.
Oh.
I'm saving that for in a bit.
Right.
But, as you say, it's what might not be one person's cup of tea. The whole public can love it.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. I mean, you know, when you're watching things like George and the Dragon, or, for instance, Nearest and Dearest... Now, these were huge shows, you know, with Jimmy Jewell and things like this. It was, It was great, great fun. And I mean, I was brought up on a lot of older comedy, so that's why I've got this thing about older comedy and how a lot of the modern stuff as well doesn't quite gel. I mean, what's your take on some of the modern comedy?
What do I think of modern comedy?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask...
An awful lot.
Well, who actually makes you laugh at the moment? If you could actually
see... Who makes me laugh? Well, I'll tell you who makes me laugh. All the repeats.
Is it? Yeah, very good.
You know, and Only Fools and Horses.
Roy Clark, and obviously as well, I'm trying to think of his name now, John Sullivan, who wrote Fools and Horses as well.
I mean, there's no shows now that are like those, you know, that you can watch as a whole family.
Yeah. No, it's that whole family thing has gone from TV. I mean, what about the current performers? I mean, who do you actually, you know, hosts? Because that's one of the things as well that sort of grinds on me, is when you actually see these so-called comedians. I mean, the recent thing now with Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand phoning up, because...
I mean, that is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if people don't know about it, it was on Radio 2 just over a week ago. Andrew Sachs, who was Manuel, or most famous for Manuel in Fawlty Towers, he was due to go on for an interview.
Andrew Sachs.
Yeah, and he unfortunately had to cancel. And then they phoned up his personal answer phone on his mobile and left rude comments regarding his 23-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just, you know, that to me, that's not funny.
Well, there are big headlines in the Daily Mail today that says sack them.
Well, I don't think that'll be happening.
No, I don't think it'll happen.
Because nowadays it's all about controversy and things like this. And, I mean, obviously, some of the work from earlier, shall I say, at its time with yourself. I mean, we're going to talk about Love Thy Neighbour. We're going to talk as well about Mind Your Language.
Yeah.
And obviously, for their time, they were groundbreaking because they actually brought down taboos, a lot of the big taboos that were happening in early 1970s Britain.
Well, they were controversial, of course. And it took me nearly a year to get Thames Television to agree to do Love Thy Neighbour, because they were afraid it was going to be classed as racist, which it was, of course. It wasn't racist, but it was classed as racist. But in actual fact, the black community thought it was their show. They loved it.
Yeah, I was reading about that as well, and how Needham Baden-Semper and Rudolph Walker became sort of two of the biggest black stars, or the first sort of big black stars, in a sitcom.
That's right.
It was unheard of before.
To be given leading roles in a situation comedy. Which we broke a couple of records there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading as well, because obviously it... I mean, how many series was it? Was it five or six series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was five or six series. And then you had, obviously, the Australian spin-off, which I was actually watching the other day.
Well, it ran for six series in England. And then we wrote a play based on Love Thy Neighbour, which ran for a summer season at Blackpool. Standing room only, you couldn't get a seat. And then a summer season at Great Yarmouth, and a summer season at Brighton. And then we toured Australia and New Zealand with it. And they loved it. In fact, it's still being repeated in Australia.
Which one? The English one or the Australian one, or both?
The English one.
Because the Australian one as well. That sort of had a shift, though, didn't it? From
It didn't work as well, the Australian one.
Yeah, because that was more... I mean, it was showing off as well, Eddie Booth's ignorance, really. The whole show was all regarding his ignorance. He wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't listen to anybody at all. And as well as that, I mean, you got a good couple of catchphrases out as well, which I was reading about, the I'll have half catchphrase and things like that, which was an unintended one, as you said. You know, some of the best catchphrases, or best well-known catchphrases, can just generate by the public liking a certain phrase, and that's it. But so what were your actual... So nowadays, I mean, if you did have to watch any sort of live stand-ups, who would you actually choose to watch?
What shows would I watch?
No, as in stand-up comedians. I mean, are you a fan of Billy Connolly, or...?
Well, I mean, as a stand-up comedy, I'm not very keen on it at the moment.
No?
I don't think it's all that brilliant. Situation comedy, there's one that I think is very good, and that's My Family.
Yeah, very, very good, and very popular show as well, one of the highest rated.
Yeah, when you think about it, Hayden, it's, bless this house, 20 years on.
Yeah.
It's a family, it's husband and wife, two kids don't understand the parents don't understand the kids, That was the premise of Bless This House.
Which, again, was a very good show. I mean, that was...
Sid James
and...
Diana Coupland.
Diana Coupland, who was the voice of Honey Rider, wasn't she, in Dr. No?
That's right.
Which, I know lots of useless things like that. But, that, again, though, a great show. Even got made into a big screen feature film as well, which doesn't happen these days either. You know, you get these films which were hits on the small screen, and then they remake them for the big screen.
Yeah.
And you'd be getting, you know... huge audiences. I mean, was it 1973 when Love Thy Neighbour actually got really, was it 1973? I can't think when it was.
You see, it was never meant to be racist, Love Thy Neighbour. I mean, yes, we did get lots of letters to say, why is this white man calling this black fellow honky? Sambo,
yeah.
And Nignog. But we never got any letters to say, why is this black actor calling the white actor honky, which is pig,
yeah,
and snowflake. So I reckon we got it right. And some of the episodes, they were quite friendly. They weren't at each other's throat all the time.
And as you said as well in your book, there's always this thing. I mean, even now, I mean, people say, oh, no, you can't say this, you can't say that. But you're finding that, you know, as you say, a Welshman used to be called a taffy, and you get the Irishman who worked there who was a mick and things like this. And these are just... the base stereotypes that people always do, you know, a tight you always get the tight Scotsman, you know, the slightly backwards Irishman, which, okay, isn't the case in a lot of circumstances.
Well, when you're writing comedy shows, you've got to write the characters that people will recognise immediately and say, hey, that's just like my uncle so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what Harry and I tried to do. We didn't deliberately set out to make it racist. We just took the situation as it was at the time. And don't forget, we're going back to 1973. You know, we're going back...
very different times, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of attitudes have changed and things like this. I mean, saying that as well, you moved on to the 80s, and then you got into things such as a lot of work for LWT with Surprise Supplies and Blind Date as well, which, I mean, enormous hits at their time. Absolutely enormous hits. You know, and again, now, the thing is... there might be one programme that a family might sit down and watch, which might be Ant and Dec or something like that, and that's about it. You know, it's all about humiliation these days, I'm finding. Yeah. Whereas,
but you see, the problem is, Hayden, they won't repeat Love Thy Neighbour because they still think it's racist. I think they could repeat it, and it would be successful.
Yeah, I mean, even some of the satellite channels. I mean, a lot of your stuff's on Granada, on the Granada channel.
That's right.
And
well, Love Thy Neighbour was Thames, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a TV channel. Is it?
But Granada now own all the stations, more or less.
Yeah, more or less. But it's it might even be the Paramount Comedy Channel as well, where they repeat a lot of the George and the Dragon, Love Thy Neighbour. Occasionally, you might find Nearest and Dearest, and occasionally you might find as well Never the Twain.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, that was one of the funniest shows on TV during the 80s. You know, Never the Twain. Good, solid comedy that you could sit down with the family. You know, you had Ringo, you know, the stupid sort of, like, helper and things. It was great, and you knew what you were getting. You could just sit down, watch it any time of day, and you'd be like, right then, I know what I'm getting with this.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that's actually missing from comedy these days.
I think, you see, there's far too much political correctness now, and I can't stand that, how people can say, well, this is politically incorrect. You know, when we did Mind Your Language, they said that was racist. Well, nothing was further from being racist than Mind Your Language.
I mean, was it late 70s, early 80s?
Sorry?
Was that late 70s and early 80s?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Sorry, I said, was that the late 70s, early 80s, wasn't it, Mind Your Language?
Mind Your Language was late 70s, yeah.
Late 70s, yeah, because I know
it actually started, Hayden, when I came back from living in France, and I brought a French girl with me as an au pair for our young child, and every morning she used to come downstairs and say to me, Monsieur Powell, are there any French letters for me today?
Exactly. We won't go there with that one.
And, you know, I used to laugh, and I never told her what she was saying wrong.
Yeah.
And she used to attend a language school, learning English, and I thought there's something here, you know, for a sitcom series. And I went to one of the classes once, and they were talking about the double E sounds, and the teacher said, the double E sounds, as in sheet. And a Pakistani said, oh, dearie me, that is naughty word, sheet. And I thought, that's it, there's a series here. I based it all on that.
It's just a mispronunciation,
you know,
and things like that.
It wasn't racist,
yeah.
It was the inability of these poor foreigners to learn English correctly.
Which is also, as well, one of the most complicated languages to learn, isn't it?
I mean, because English is the hardest language to learn for a foreigner.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any rules, you see.
Yeah, we don't have the feminine and masculine. I mean, I've had trouble with French for years, and I've never gone down that route because I just knew I wasn't going to even get anywhere with it. So what's actually in the pipeline then? Because you obviously told me about the current book, which is, as I said, From Gags to Rags by Vince Powell. But so how long did it take you to write that?
The book? Well, yes. It took me a year doing it in bits and pieces. And it was very therapeutic for me, going back in time and writing about all these people and all the shows and all the lovely people I've worked with, you know. And in actual fact, the success or otherwise of the book is due to all those people that I wrote for and appeared in shows.
I mean, a lot of these people, as well, as I said, is a list as long as your arm now. And obviously sometimes the writers can be unsung heroes as well of the shows, I've found. I mean, I was a bit taken aback actually reading the book, you know, when I've read about some of the people you've written for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, they're big, you know, stars of TV and things like this. You know, they'll be, you know, adorning the front pages of newspapers and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas the writer, the actual person who's done all the hard work for it, sometimes that much of a glory. But what are you actually working on at the moment then? What are you writing?
Well, apart from staying alive.
Well.
I'm writing another book, a detective novel, and I'm doing a one-man show, hopefully, called An Evening with Vince Powell, which, if it gets off the ground, will hopefully tour England.
Very nice. Well, you need to come up to us here at Annick. We've got a very nice playhouse that I'm sure would love to see you as well.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, the interview, you can listen again online at lionheartradio.com. You can also, as well, find information about how to get hold of Vince's book.
Yeah, it's I hope all your listeners will run out and buy a copy.
Well, they'll be good, won't it?
It's a good laugh.
I tell you what, I was reading it, and I was like, I've got to say, though, you and the Rolls, very jealous of that.
Yeah.
Very jealous of that. But I need to get pen down on paper, don't I, and start writing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Vince, Pat, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best of luck with the book.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you very soon. Thank you for spending the time to speak to us.
It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.